Hare Krishna. So we welcome you to the celebration of Sri Radha Kund's appearance day today at Radha Kalachandri Dham. Of course, as our scriptures and learned authorities tell us, when the Supreme Lord Krishna descends into the material world, he brings with him everything of the spiritual world, including his eternal associates and his sacred abode. And just as Krishna is eternal, his associates are eternal, and his abode is eternal. But just as Krishna has a pastime or lila by which he appears in the world or appears to take birth, similarly, the eternal Radha Kund and Shama Kund also appear by a certain arrangement of lila. Now, after Lord Krishna manifested his pastimes on earth 5,000 years ago, Vrindavan gradually became covered. I mean, Vrindavan didn't become covered, but the places of Krishna's pastimes became lost to memory. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited Vrindavan, Shama Kund and Radha Kund were not really visible. When he came, he made inquiries, and no one could say for sure where Radha Kund and Shama Kund were. But being the omniscient personality of Godhead, he discerned where they were. And although they were just like two puddles in a paddy field, he took his bath there. He took some of the sacred clay and applied it as tilak. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed his immediate followers, the six Goswamis, to excavate the lost places of pilgrimage in Vrindavan. And so the Goswamis undertook that service to the Lord and to the devotees. And in particular, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami excavated Radha Kund and Shama Kund. And if you go there, you will see that Radha Kund is in a regular shape, like a square, but Shama Kund is zigzagged. It's not straight like Radhakund. And the history is that Raghunath Das Goswami began the excavation with Radhakund first, and at night he had a dream in which the five Pandavas appeared to him and informed him that they had taken birth as five trees near Shamakund. And therefore, he should be careful while excavating Shamakund not to harm the trees. And so he engineered the excavation of Shamakund in an irregular way so as not to disturb the five trees or the five Pandavas. There were many pastimes during the excavation. A rock was struck, and from that rock, blood came forth. And the rock was actually the tongue of Govardhan. And now that rock is worshipped in a temple by the side of Radhakund. So to begin, I would like to read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita about how Radhakund and Shamakund were, you could say, discovered, rediscovered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's like two layers to Radhakund's appearance. One is her original appearance pastime during Krishna Leela, and then her reappearance pastime during Gaur Leela. And since we approach Krishna, Radha and Krishna, through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we'll begin with Gaur Leela. Please repeat after me. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Is it possible to get more light here for reading? Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, Chapter 18, The Lord's Visit to Sri Vrindavan. Text 1. Vrindavane stira charan nandayan sva valokanai Atmanam chaddhada lokad, Gauranga parito brahmat. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled all over Vrindavan and pleased all living entities, moving and non-moving, with his glances. The Lord took much personal pleasure in seeing everyone. In this way, Lord Gauranga traveled in Vrindavan. Jaya Jaya Gaura Chandra Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. All glories to Lord Gaura Chandra. All glories to Nityananda Prabhu. All glories to Advaita Prabhu. And all glories to the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, headed by Srivas Thakur. E mata maha prabhur nachite arit grama asibaya haila achambite. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced in ecstasy. But when he arrived at Aritagram, his sense perception awakened. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Aritagram is also called Aristagram. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood that in that village, Aristasura was killed by Sri Krishna. While there, he inquired about Radha Kund, but no one could tell him where it was. The Brahmin accompanying him could also not ascertain its whereabouts. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could then understand that the holy places known as Radha Kund and Shama Kund were at that time lost to everyone's vision. He therefore discovered Radha Kund and Shama Kund, which were two reservoirs of water in two paddy fields. Although there was very little water, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was omniscient and could understand that formerly these two ponds were called Sri Radha Kund and Shama Kund. In this way, Radha Kund and Shama Kund were discovered. Text 4. Arite Radha Kunda Varta Puche Loka Stane Kehanahi Kehe Sangera Brahmanana Jane. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked the local people, "Where is Radha Kund?" No one could inform him, and the Brahmin accompanying him did not know either. The Lord then understood that the holy place called Radha Kund was no longer visible. However, being the omniscient Supreme Personality of Godhead, he discovered Radha Kund and Shama Kund in two paddy fields. There was only a little water, but he took his bath there. When the people of the village saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taking his bath in those two ponds in the middle of the paddy fields, they were very astonished. The Lord then offered his prayers to Sri Radha Kund. So transcendentally, of course, it is stated in many places in scripture that Radha Kund is as dear to Krishna as Srimati Radharani herself. But it is further said that Sri Radha Kund is not different from Srimati Radharani. And just as we would offer prayers to Srimati Radharani, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, playing a devotee, similarly offered prayers to Sri Radha Kund. Sabagopi haite Radha Krishnera prayasi, taiche Radha Kunda priya priyara sarasi. Of all the gopis, Radharani is the dearmost. Similarly, the lake known as Radha Kund is very dear to the Lord because it is very dear to Srimati Radharani. And this brings us to text 8, the verse that's written on the board, which we can just recite to glorify Srimati Radharani and Sri Radha Kund, and to imbue the atmosphere and our hearts with transcendental vibrations. Please repeat. Yata Radha Priya Vishnos Tasya Kundam Priyam Tata Sarva Gopishu Saivaika Vishnor Atyanta Valava Yata Radha Priya Vishnos Tasya Kundam Priyam Tata Sarva Gopishu Saivaika Vishnor Atyanta Valabha Yata Radha Priya Vishnos Tasya Kundam Priyam Tata Sarva Gopishu Saivaika Vishnor Atyanta Valabha. Haradha Priya Vishnos Tasya Kundam Priyam Tata Sarva Gopishu Saivaika Vishnor Atyanta Valabha. Yata Radha Priya Vishnos Tasya Kundam Priyam Tata Sarva Gopishu Saivaika Vishnor Atyanta Valabha. Ladies, Radha Priya Vishnos Tasya Kundam Priyam Tata Sarva Gopishu Saivaika Vishnor Atyanta Valabha. Radha Priya Vishnos Tasya Kundam Priyam Tata Sarva Gopishu Saivaika Vishnor Atyanta Valabha. Yata as Radha Srimati Radharani Priya Beloved Vishnu of Lord Krishna, Tasya, her, Kundam, lake, Priyam, very dear, Tata, similarly, Sarva Gopishu, among all the gopis, Sa, she, Eva, Certainly.
Certainly.
Eka.
Eka.
Alone.
Alone.
Vishnu.
Vishnu.
Of Lord Krishna. Atyanta.
Very much.
Balava.
Dear.
Translation. Srimati Radharani is most dear to Lord Krishna, and her lake, known as Radhakund, is also very dear to him. Of all the gopis, Srimati Radharani is certainly the most beloved. Please repeat. Srimati Radharani is most dear. To Lord Krishna. And her lake known as Radhakund is also very dear to him. Of all the gopis, Srimati Radharani is certainly the most beloved. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is a verse from the Padma Purana. Text 9. In that lake, Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani used to sport daily in the water and have a rasa dance on the bank. Indeed, Lord Krishna gives ecstatic love like that of Srimati Radharani to whoever bathes in the lake even once in his life. The attraction of Radhakund is as sweet as that of Srimati Radharani. Similarly, the glories of the Kund lake are as glorious as Srimati Radharani. Shiradeva Hare Stadiya Sarasi Vestad Bhutai Svair Gunayar Yasyam Shriyuta Madhavendur Anisham Pritya Taya Kridati Premasmin Bhatta Radhikeva Labhate Yasyam Sakrit Smankrit Tasya Vai Mahima Tata Madhurima Kenastu Varnyakshito. Because of its wonderful transcendental qualities, Radhakund is as dear to Krishna as Srimati Radharani. It was in that lake that the all-opulent Lord Sri Krishna performed his pastimes with Srimati Radharani with great pleasure and transcendental bliss. Whoever bathes just once in Radhakund attains Srimati Radharani's loving attraction for Sri Krishna. Who within this world can describe the glories and sweetness of Sri Radhakund? Purport. This verse is found in the Govinda Lilamrita 7.102. Text 13. E mata stuti kari prema vishtahana tire nritya kari kundalila sanariya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thus offered prayers to Radhakund. Overwhelmed by ecstatic love, he danced on the bank. Remembering the pastimes Lord Krishna performed on the bank of Radhakund. Kundera mritika lana tilaka karila Bhattacharya Dvara Mritika Sange Kari Laila. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then marked his body with tilak made from the mud of Radha Kund. And with the help of Balabhadra Bhattacharya, he collected some of the mud and took it with him. And then Chaitanya Charitamrita describes Lord Chaitanya's further travels in Vrindavan. So because Radha Kund is such an exalted place, many followers in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have chosen to establish residence at Radha Kund. Of course, Raghunath Das Goswami himself was one of the first to do so. And he was so detached that he didn't even care to have a roof over his head. He was just residing on the banks of Radha Kund among the trees. But one day, while he was chanting the holy names, engaged in meditation on Krishna, Radha and Krishna's pastimes, some tigers came to drink water from Radha Kund. And Raghunath Das Goswami was completely unaware of the presence of the tigers. And he just went on with his chanting and remembering. But Krishna was concerned for Srila Raghunath Das Goswami and personally came and protected him. And this was witnessed by Srila Sanatan Goswami, who reported what had happened to Raghunath Das Goswami and said that you have to have a simple dwelling to protect yourself, otherwise you're at risk, and the Lord always protects his devotee, but we don't want to take service from the Lord. So he gave him that instruction. But he was a little slow to execute it because he was completely detached from the body and from any material endeavor. Then later, when he was absorbed in the holy names and pastimes of Sri Radha and Krishna, he was oblivious of the time. And as time passed, the sun rose, and it was beating down over his head very strongly, so much so that he could have had a heat stroke. And Srimati Radharani came, and she held her veil or shawl over Raghunath Das Goswami's head to shield him from the sun. And when Srila Sanatana Goswami saw that, he thought, this is too much. This is too much. We have to do something. So he came and again informed Raghunath Das Goswami what had happened. But this time he personally worked with Raghunath Das Goswami to construct a simple shelter for him. And that is considered to be the beginning of the Bhajan Kutir system, in which devotees have a small kutir, or a cottage, just this very simple dwelling within which they do their bhajan or worship of Krishna. And gradually, other acharyas established residence at Radhakund. Many of the Goswamis, but in particular Srila Jiva Goswami. And if you do circumambulation or parikrama of Radhakund, you will find Jiva Goswami's bhajan kutir just across from Lalita Kund. Srimati Radharani has 8 principal lady friends, sakis, and each of them have their own little pond or kund around Radha Kund. But of those, only Lalita Kund is very visible now. And near there, Srila Jiva Goswami established his bhajan kutir. And Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami came, and he established his bhajan kutir, and he wrote Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita on the banks of Radhakund in his bhajan kutir. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also came. Pretty much all of the main Gaudiya Vaishnava acharyas, or at least many of them, established bhajan kutirs at Radhakund. And so also in our recent history, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who was the father of Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he established his home at Radha Kund, Swananda Sugata Kund. And you can visit that place. It's a little more established. It has 2 rooms. And yes, you can see where he and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would stay and engage in devotional service to Krishna. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur established a temple, a branch of his institution, Gaudiya Math, at Radha Kund, and installed deities of Radha Kunjabihari. That is called Kunjabihari Math. I should mention that when we say Radha Kund, with reference to Boma Vrindavan, the Vrindavan on earth, we refer to Radha Kund itself, and we also refer to Shama Kund, And we also refer to the area around Radhakund, the place of the bhajan kutirs and temples and shops and homes and everything in the you could say the village of Radhakund. It refers to the village of Radhakund. So it was at the Kunjabihari Mutt that Srila Prabhupada met with his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And it was there that Srila Prabhupada received a very important instruction from his spiritual master. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur told him that, he expressed his distress over what was happening in the Gaudiya Mutt, especially among some of his leading followers, in the Bagh Bazar Mutt, which was a very opulent temple with marble, made with marble, and but there the fire of self-interest or party spirits had entered the Mutt. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very distressed. And he told Srila Prabhupada, who at that time was known as Abhay Charanaravinda Das, that one day there will be fire in the Gaudiya Mutt. And it happened. And that fire practically consumed the whole Mutt as it was during Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's time. And he said that if he could tear out the marble from the temple and sell it, and use the money to print books, that would be better. And then he directly instructed Srila Prabhupada, if you ever get money, print books. And that instruction entered deep into Srila Prabhupada's heart and remained in his heart forever. And he has passed the instruction down to us. It may be a coincidence, but just today I received an email on the book distribution group that is organized by Vijay Das, who is the ISKCON minister for book distribution. And he quoted a story that was related by Suvas Das, who's the temple president in Los Angeles and is also a BBT trustee. And Suvas Das related how Srila Prabhupada came to visit Atlanta. And of course, during Prabhupada's time, especially after 1970 or 71, 72, devotees were very enthusiastically engaged in distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. And the temples were surcharged with that atmosphere of book distribution. So Suhas Prabhu related that when Srila Prabhupada arrived, you know, the room was filled with devotees. And one of the devotees asked Srila Prabhupada, how can we increase our dedication to book distribution? And how can we increase our distribution of books? And Srila Prabhupada sat there. He didn't respond immediately. He looked up. And very slowly said, as the devotees were just eagerly waiting for the answer, if you want to increase your dedication to book distribution and the distribution of my books, and then he paused some more as the devotees' eagerness to hear the answer increased to the highest limit. If you want to increase your dedication to book distribution and increase the distribution of my books, you should chant all your 16 rounds at one stretch. And that was the answer. And that is a profound answer. I mean, in any case, chanting 16 rounds at a stretch is beneficial. Of course, we may have circumstances that make it difficult. Although if one were to get up early enough, one could do it. But that was a very deep answer. And Suhas Prabhu's commentary on it, and of course it could be, it was such a deep statement that one could derive many instructions from it, but his commentary was that if we do that, then the whole rest of the day will go well. And if we allow our minds, of course in those days the devotees lived in the temple, they didn't have other work besides direct service in the temple. But his commentary was that, that if you can discipline your mind to chant 16 rounds at a stretch, the rest of the day will be good. But if you allow your mind to distract you and convince you, as it always tries to do, that you have more important things to do than chant your rounds, then from the very beginning you're in a weakened condition. And then, you know, for the rest of the day, you will have difficulty. You know, in Kali Yuga, whatever we can do is welcome, it's appreciated. But this is sort of like parampara. And I never heard that from Suhas Prabhu until today. I read it. But he personally gets up at about 2 o'clock every morning and chants his rounds before Mangal Arati. Because he's the temple president, it's a big temple, a big community. And he said, He can never know for sure if some emergency might come up. And if it does, then he won't be able to chant his rounds. And he doesn't want to take any chance of with not having his rounds done before deity greeting. So that's his policy, and I'm quite sure that it's really given him great spiritual strength to execute his important duties in Krishna consciousness. So, yeah. So at Radhakund, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave that instruction to Srila Prabhupada, if you ever get money, distribute books. And Srila Prabhupada has communicated that instruction to us. So I have myriad books about Radhakund here, but somehow I feel that this point was so profound that we can stop here and see if there are any questions or comments. And if we get back to some of the books, it's okay. And if not, I can tell you where you can find abundant information about Radhakund. So are there any questions or comments? Yes, Chaitanya Charan Prabhu.
When you first started reading about the glories of Radhakund, you described that anyone who visited or bathed in Radhakund was going to back to Krishna's pastime. I know that it happens, but how does it happen? Is it at birth, or?
Well, Chaitanya Charan Prabhu has said that we read some verses to the effect that anyone who takes bath in Radhakund once develops the same attraction for Krishna as Srimati Radharani, which means that one becomes eligible to enter Krishna's pastimes. So he's asking, how does that work? The question in a general sense is discussed in the Nectar of Devotion, because in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami has included many such statements about the effects of different practices in devotional service. So someone might wonder whether these statements are exaggerations. And in the Nectar of Devotion, which is Srila Prabhupada's summary study of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he explains that it is a matter of that the statements are not exaggerations, but they're not true for all people in all cases. But especially if someone has some background in devotional service and has come to a certain purity of consciousness, then the results that are described are not unusual. Now, one book that is very important for understanding Radhakund is Srila Rupa Goswami's Upadeshamrita, which Srila Prabhupada has translated as the nectar of instruction. And when Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur went to Radhakund, he lectured on the Upadeshamrita. So I will read there are only 11 verses. And I'll read the 11th verse. Translation. Of the many objects of favored delight, and of all the lovable damsels of Vrajabhumi, Srimati Radharani is certainly the most treasured object of Krishna's love. And in every respect, her divine kund is described by great sages as similarly dear to him. Undoubtedly, Radha Kund is very rarely attained even by the great devotees. Therefore, it is even more difficult for ordinary devotees to attain. If one simply bathes once within those holy waters, one's pure love of Krishna is fully aroused. So this verse is very mysterious. This verse says that Radha Kund is very rarely attained even by great devotees. So what to speak of ordinary devotees? But in a sense, anyone can go to Radha Kund. Actually, not that they're just anyone, but on the subject that anyone can go to Radha Kund, my sister and brother-in-law came to India. And, of course, they went to Agra to see the Taj Mahal. But at the Taj, they happened to have a Hindu tour guide who told them that you are very near to the birthplace of Lord Krishna. So why don't you go there? So they thought, okay. And, you know, I was a devotee of Krishna. So they took the train to Mathura. And when they got out, they're asking, where's the Hare Krishna temple? They assume we must have a temple there. But nobody knew of a Hare Krishna temple in Mathura, but they pointed them to the birthplace, Krishna Janmabhumi, and the temple there. But they're thinking, where are the devotees? Where are the devotees? And just then, a Harinam party from the Krishna Balaram temple came around the corner. And it was a combination of the children from the Gurukul doing Harinam and going on parikrama, and devotees from the Laguna Beach temple who somehow happened to be visiting Vrindavan. So my sister went up to them and said, you know, I'm so-and-so, Giriraj Swami is my brother. And so they said, oh, well, you know, we have a bus here. And from here, we're going to Govardhan Hill. So would you like to come with us? So they said, yeah. So they got on the bus. I think that my sister ended up sitting next to Badahari Das. And so they went on the bus to Radhakund, to Govardhan. And I think first they went to Kusum Sarovar. They went in along, all the devotees went in. They also went in. And then they went to Radhakund. And I think at that stage my sister, I don't know if it was like too late in the day, it was too cold or... But anyway, she didn't go in, but she sprinkled water like she saw some of the devotees do. And my brother-in-law went in. So now, okay, so what, so now what about what the verse says? Well, it's there. Definitely something is there. It was an extremely fortunate occasion. But still, can we say that immediately upon leaving this body, he'll attain a spiritual form as a gopi and serve Radha and Krishna at Radhakund? It would be nice. It would be nice. And it's possible, but I don't think I would say that it's definite, but it's possible. Now, what happened in ISKCON at a certain stage when the Nectar of Instruction came out, there were many devotees who had the idea, we'll just go to Radhakund. Take bath in Radhakund. We don't have to do anything else. We just take bath in Radhakund. Everything is achieved. And they didn't just go to Radhakund and take bath. They sometimes they would, meet with Babaji's there who have different theories and philosophies and practices. And so it was a concern to the devotees who were aware of it. And when Srila Prabhupada was in Juhu, some senior devotees informed him about the phenomenon of some of his disciples going to Radhakund and associating with the Babaji's there and taking up residence at Radhakund. And, Srila Prabhupada gave quite a deep and elaborate answer. But one of the points he made, and I think this is a point for all of us to consider, that statement, one who takes birth in Radhakund once, that comes in the last verse of the Upadeshamrita. So now listen to the first verse. Vacho vegam manasa krodha vegam jiva vegam udarapasta vegam etan vegam yovisaheta dira sarvam apimam prithivim sasisyat. Do you know this verse? A sober person who can tolerate the urge to speak, the mind's demands, the actions of anger, and the urges of the tongue, belly, and genitals, is qualified to make disciples all over the world. So this is the first verse. And then there are many other verses that give progressive instructions in bhakti yoga. So, you know, one should start with the first verse and then gradually progress to the last verse. But then one of the disciples said to Srila Prabhupada that, you know, your devotees should understand your books properly. But Prabhupada replied that if a devotee is sincere, he will not make such a mistake. That it's really a matter of whether the disciple wants to be controlled by the spiritual master or not. If he wants to be controlled by the spiritual master, then he will understand what the spiritual master wants. But if he doesn't want to be controlled by the spiritual master, then what can the spiritual master do? You know, as Krishna tells Arjuna at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, "Ite chasi tatakuru," you've heard everything that I've said, now you do what you like. So, and then he spoke about Raghunath Das Goswami, how he would chant the holy name, and not only chant the holy name, he would offer obeisances like 2,000 times daily. He's saying that's residence at Radha Kund. You know, if you can do like Raghunath Das Goswami, that's residence at Radha Kund. I came prepared for many. To go in many directions depending on the discussion. And so this happens to be if I can find it, I'd like to quote from it directly because it's very instructive. Not just for Radha Kund, but in general. Yeah, so Srila Prabhupada. So one of the devotees named Achyutananda. He's in Alachua now. He said to Prabhupada, they also wear the Radha Kund Mati Tilak. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did that. He took the mud from Radha Kund and applied Tilak. And Srila Prabhupada replied, there is no harm. But they should understand what is Radha Kund and how to deal with Radha Kund. Raghunath Das Goswami showed how to live in Radha Kund. Sankhya Purvaka Namagana Natibi Kalavasani Krito. He was circumambulating Radha Kund, falling down, making a mark. That is Radha Kund Vasi, means resident. He not only counted holy names, but offered obeisances so many hundred times. That is Radha Kund. So much vairagya, detachment, he showed. He can take bath in Radha Kund. First of all, do this like Raghunath Das Goswami. Samkhya Purvaka Namagana Natibi Kalavasani Krito Nidrahara Vihara Kadi Vijito Chaitanya Dino Chayo. This is from the Sad Goswami Astakam. And Prabhupada didn't translate it when he was speaking, but the translation is, the six Goswamis were engaged in chanting the holy names of the Lord and bowing down in scheduled measurement. Now, bowing down, this is like a very important item. It's very important and powerful. And I'll tell my own experience. One Kartik, I was in Vrindavan, and on the appearance day of Radhakund, I went to Radhakund. And the appearance day is celebrated at midnight. It's considered to be the time of Radhakund's appearance. And so, you know, devotees, pilgrims, local residents, they line the banks of Radhakund and the steps leading down into the water. And it's, you know, unless you come very early and wait on the bottom steps, or unless you're like very daring and aggressive and somehow find a way to jump over the crowds and into the kund, and I've seen devotees do that. There are some ledges where people don't stand, but somehow they sort of made their way out on the ledge. And you can't actually go in at that moment. But I was nearby, and, you know, devotees were bringing Radhakund water and sprinkling it. And, you know. So, anyway, it was thrilling, and it was enlivening, and a very spiritually surcharged atmosphere. And then you walk from the kund down the road that goes through the Radhakund village. And then that's where people park their cars, and you can hire rickshaws and tongas and different means of transportation. So, you know, I was amongst the crowd that was walking through the street of the village. And then, you know, sort of came some distance away when the crowd wasn't so thick. And there was a godbrother of mine who just offered flat obeisances, dandavats, in that dusty road, of the village of Radhakund. And, you know, this shows something about me. So within my mind, I was thinking, you know, should I do that or not? And I was thinking, it was really dirty there. And there's still a lot of people walking around. I don't know if they'll even notice me lying down. The mind was evaluating the situation. And the mind, it sort of functions as an agent of the false ego. You know, the underlying is the false ego, you know. You're like a big person. You're an important person. You're just going to, like, lie down in the street, you know. So, but then somehow in the end, I just did it. I did it. And the mercy I got from offering that obeisance in that dirt of Radhakund village facing the kund was tremendous. I got more out of that obeisance than I did from everything else leading up to it. It's like very powerful. And that's what it is. Giving up false ego. I mean, of course, you can do anything with false ego, but some things are harder to do with false ego, and so you get mercy. And I was a little encouraged. I don't know if I should say it, but because I've been listening to Burijan Prabhu's series of talks from the Govardhan retreat in 2006. In which he talks about Lord Chaitanya's ecstatic dancing of Rathyatra, which has many deep lessons and very esoteric passages. But when Lord Chaitanya would dance ecstatically at Rath Yatra, his, you know, it's like, okay, tears would shoot from his eyes, but then mucus would run from his nose, foam and saliva would come out of his mouth, and his whole body would be drenched in these liquids. And one of the main points that Burijan Prabhu made repeatedly was that these external symptoms are manifestations of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's internal mood. I mean, for these external symptoms to be manifest, how intense must his internal mood be, his internal ecstasy? So, as described in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, you know, King Pratap Rudra really wanted to see Lord Chaitanya, but because he was a king and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a sannyasi, Lord Chaitanya refused to see him. And King Pratap Rudra was asking Mahaprabhu's associates, and some of them were very close to the king, like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, that can't you speak to the Lord and allow him to, I mean, arrange for him to allow me to see him. But they were all afraid to ask him, because they thought he might get angry, and sometimes they did ask him. And he said, if you bring this up once more, I'm leaving Jagannath Puri forever. He didn't even want to consider meeting the king, who was, although he was a great devotee internally, but as a king, he was, you know, associated with material opulence and sense gratification, and so Mahaprabhu refused to meet him. So finally, King Pratap Rudra said, well, isn't there a way that I could see him without his knowing that I'm seeing him? Means I can look at him without his knowing that I've come close. So they said, well, you could come during the Rath Yatra, because he's in such an ecstatic state. He's not conscious of what's going on around him. So you can come and see him then. So the king did so. And, you know, he was so happy. His long-cherished desire was fulfilled. And, you know, in a very happy mood, he returned to his residence. But he did have one doubt, one little doubt. And the doubt was that, you know, this foam and saliva was coming out of Mahaprabhu's mouth, and it was covering his cloth and his arms and his legs, and it was just like a thought that some just slight idea that, like, in our common language, like, ew, icky. But just very subtle, very slight, but something was there. So Lord Chaitanya, of course, being the omniscient Lord, knew everything, although he appeared to be unconscious, but he knew everything, or he, you know, his Leela Shakti allowed him to know whatever he needed to know when he needed to know it, his pastime potency. So that night, he decided to show special mercy to King Pratap Rudra. And in his dream, Lord Jagannath appeared. And as Lord Jagannath, he was showing some of those ecstatic symptoms that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed while dancing at the Rath Yatra. But still, I mean, Lord Jagannath was King Pratap Rudra's life and soul. And as soon as he saw Lord Jagannath, he immediately wanted to, like, reach out and touch his feet. But Lord Jagannath said, you can't touch my feet. You're a king. And my feet are covered with dust and saliva. Of course, we say saliva, it's really the nectar from the Lord's lotus mouth, Adar Amrita, it's nectar, but you can't, you know, you're a respectable king. You can't touch my feet when they're covered with dust and saliva. He said, "No, my lord, you're my lord. No, I must touch your feet." And then Lord Jagannath transformed himself into the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because up until then, King Pratap Rudra appreciated Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the most advanced devotee. But he didn't really know, because this was very confidential, he didn't really know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Lord Jagannath, that he was Krishna himself. And then in the dream he realized, oh, he's actually my worshipable Lord, Lord Jagannath. And it was wrong of me to have this doubt, like, should I, you know, touch him, touch his limb. So, but in that exchange, in the dream, it's like Lord Jagannath was sort of in an indirect way, you know, in a subtle way, alluding to the king's false ego. Oh, you're a big king. You're a respectable person. You can't be doing this. So to overcome that false ego, that we have to do that. We have to overcome that false ego. So I would say sort of under the sway of false ego there when I was thinking, should I or shouldn't I? But fortunately, I did. So yeah, that's a very important item. So I'll just conclude this because it's a very relevant. Yeah, so the six ghosts, this is the translation of the verse Prabhupada quoted from the Sad Goswami Astakam. The six Goswamis were engaged in chanting the holy names of the Lord and bowing down in a scheduled measurement. Chanting the holy names and bowing down in a scheduled measurement. In this way, they utilized their valuable lives. And in executing these devotional activities, they conquered overeating and sleeping. It's like Vacho Vega, Manasa Krodha Vega. And were always meek and humble. Sad Goswami Astaka 6. Prabhupada continued, the Bhagavad Gita is the entrance. Then the Bhagavat is graduate. And then Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is the step by step. But if one is sincere, and this was the point I made earlier, but if one is sincere, everything becomes revealed. He does not commit mistake. So the conclusion is, apart from other arguments, is that we must be sincere. But how do we demonstrate our sincerity? Srila Prabhupada said, you see, you can become independent. Nobody can check you. Everyone is independent. Yatechasi tatakuru. But one who wants to be regulated, he has to surrender. That is voluntary. Otherwise, everyone is free to do whatever he likes. And those who are surrendered souls, they will wait for the instruction of Guru and do accordingly. That is the proper. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya, Chiche Te Kariya Aikya, Arana Kariya. That's from the Guru Vandana prayer that we sing every morning. And of all the lines of the Guru Vandana, this is probably the one that Srila Prabhupada quoted the most. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya, Chite Te Kariya Aikya, Arana Kariya. Make the teachings from the lotus mouth of the spiritual master one with your heart, and do not desire anything else. That is wanted. Otherwise, all living beings are independent. Even if I say that you do not do it, you are independent. You can do it. Even Krishna gives independence to Arjuna, Yatechasi Tatakuru. I've told you everything, now do whatever you like. So that depends on the candidate. Everyone is free to do anything. But if he's actually serious, then he has to do Guru Mukha Padma Vakya, Chite Te Kariya Akya, Arana Kariya. So, if we're sincere, serious, surrendered, everything will be revealed step by step. Any other questions or comments? Yes, Nityananda Prabhu.
Once we were here, I was in Dallas, and we went at the sannyas quarters upstairs, and it was the day of the holy appearance of Sri Radha Kund. And so some of us were expressing this desire that would have been so nice if we had all been in Radha Kund, and we would have been able to witness the wonderful events that happened there at midnight at Radha Kund. And so how can we get the same benefit, although, you know, we're away from there, but the desire is there in the heart, so how do we get the same benefit? So his answer was that this event happens at midnight in India, so if you time it in America when it is midnight in India, and then you take some drops of Radha Kund and sprinkle it on your head. The important thing is that you are following the instruction of the spiritual master, he said. If you are following the instruction of your spiritual master, and if you do that sincerely, then you get the same benefit as actually bathing in Radha Kund at midnight on the day of the appearance of Radha Kund, which is, like, for devotees, considered like a very important event, an extremely important event in their life. So it was very nice to hear that the major instruction was that one remains in the shelter of the spiritual master. Mm-hmm. And that in the shelter of the spiritual master, everything is available at all times. You do not miss out on anything because you happen to be in a particular location or particular circumstance or whatever. Whatever there might be. And it reminded me of the instruction that Srila Prabhupada got from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that nothing stops Krishna consciousness, nothing impedes Krishna consciousness, that Krishna consciousness is always available. It is one of the qualities of Krishna consciousness that it's always available. And he was instructing that it's available when you're in the shelter of the spiritual master and you're following the instructions of the spiritual master like that. So thank you very much. It's sort of, I mean, you're saying exactly the same thing, that Guru Mukha Padma Vakya, Chite Te Kariya Aikya. And now, if you want, because, you know, the mind says, well, it's midnight, So should I do it midnight here? So he said, well, just time it according to the midnight in India. And that way you feel like, okay, I'm there. And that's your meditation. I'm there and I'm also taking some water. And that was the other thing that I wanted to ask you, Maharaj, that some people feel like if you just sprinkle some water on your head, is that the same as bathing? I've always understood it like that, but how would you dispel that doubt in anybody's heart that it is non-different taking the water and sprinkling it on your head as opposed to taking a bath? Because devotees sometimes feel like I'm not qualified to take a bath in Radhakund. I should not enter Radhakund. I should just take some water, pay my obeisances, take some water, sprinkle it on my head, offer prayers, pay my obeisances. That way I've, you know, done what is necessary.
Well, it's true that we're not qualified to take bath in Radhakund, because Radhakund is Srimati Radharani. And how could this body, which is full of, you know, blood, stool, urine, you know, touch Radharani? And I believe that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur did not take bath in Radhakund, but he took achman. That's what they do. They take achman and they sprinkle the water. But I have Shri Bhakti Siddhanta Vaibhav, you know, wonderful biography of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur by His Holiness Bhakti Vikash Swami. So we can read about him at Radhakund there. You know, Srila Prabhupada got reports that his disciples were like diving into Radhakund and sporting in it like it was a, you know, an ordinary lake or swimming pool, you know. And so Prabhupada said that they should not take bath in Radhakund. But then other devotees have said, well, you know, that was said under certain circumstances, but if one has a proper respectful mood, that it is Srimati Radharani, non different from Srimati Radharani, and enters it in that mood of humility and respect, then it's not the same as those devotees who were just diving in and swimming and enjoying in that way. But yeah, if we have Radhakund water, that's a good way. Good way. I checked the calendar, and in Vrindavan, Radhakund's appearance day is Thursday, October 16th. And we are 10.5 hours behind. So their Thursday midnight would be our Thursday 1:30 in the afternoon, which I think if we can come up with some Radhakund water, I'm sure there must be devotees who have it. I didn't think of it. But yeah, that's nice. Any other questions or comments?
I'd like to relate a small incident.
In 1975, I was in Wisconsin, and the BBT sent me a care package which included a small vial of Radhakund water and a description of the transcendental potency and benefits. And I think it may have been similar to the last verse that you read from the Nectar of Instruction. And they instructed that you should keep that bottle of, that little vial of water on your person wherever you go, and anybody you would anoint with a drop, they would be guaranteed liberation. So I did, I always did that. And I always felt a special, you know, something very special from having that water. And I actually felt it, it had a great benefit one time when, you know, I had a brother who was having some difficulties battling schizophrenia. And that was in 75 or 76. And I used to, you know, he was in and out of, my parents had him committed a couple of times, and they gave him shock treatments. He was at all sorts of difficulties. And he was seeing and hearing things and just really troubled. He'd get very, very depressed and then go off crazy. And I would try to preach to him that, you know, everything else seems to be so difficult. Why, you know, try to chant Hare Krishna. And I'd show him the Back to Guided magazines. And, you know, he always took the instructions very, very nicely. So, long story short, I happened to be living the next winter, I happened to be living at home to work in a local sawmill. And my brother was also living at home, and I stopped off where my dad had a business downtown on the way back from work. My sister ran in and said that my brother had shot himself. So I ran home, and I know the circumstances are not generally considered auspicious, and I wasn't so sure myself, being that I was very new to Krishna consciousness. But he was lying unconscious, but still alive. And he actually had the Bhakti Guided with a photo of Radha Krishna deities in front, right in front of him. But he was unconscious, and he was gurgling, he was bleeding, and, you know, he was on his way out. And I had the Radha Kund, and I put Radha Kund on him. Nobody else was there, and I chanted Hare Krishna to him until the paramedics and the priest and everybody else came in. And within, you know, 5 or 10 minutes from, you know, when they were taken to the hospital, he left his body. But I always felt that it was like very, I didn't know. When I came to Krishna consciousness, finally, the first really senior devotee I asked was Dristadyumna Maharaj when he came through Chicago. And he, you know, he was very sure that it was totally auspicious and assured me that everything was very, very nice. But I always took a special, you know, consider it very special. In fact, the last time I went to India, I stored up all these rose water bottles from the Pujari room, and I had so much in my luggage, I could hardly make it the rest of the way. And then the first time I came back here, everybody, I gave a class about the trip, and anybody who came, I gave a small bottle of Radha Kund. So, but, and I try to keep a little thing on the wall by my door with Radha Kund. If anybody goes in and out the door, they can also get the benefit. But yeah, that was a really special thing that BBT did back in those days. They would send little care packages. If you gave any kind of donations or bought a book and got on their list, they would send a package, and they would have these sheets of paper, How I Came to Krishna Consciousness. I got the Matchless Gifts book one time. One time they gave me a little piece of burpee and described that you just pinch a little bit every day and you can get the special mercy of Krishna Prasad. But anyways, I just wanted to relate that story. I thought it was
wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
So how's your supply of Radha Kund water? Good. All right, well, Chaitanya Charan.
This may be too far off the subject, but how are we to understand that when Lord Chaitanya was here and he departed, it's described that he took all the living entities with him. And we know from history who was here, and they weren't pure devotees. So how did that work? Or what was, I mean, I know it was Cosmos Mercy, but it's amazing.
It seems from your two questions that you're looking for a sort of easy way and quick way to...
No, I'm not. I know there's no quick way or easy way. I'm not looking for that last ditch effort.
It may be a big universe, but I mean, it may be the smallest universe in creation, but it's still an unlimited universe.
For us.
Yeah. Well, we would have to see what the texts actually say. I mean, Lord Chaitanya had a disciple named Vasudev Dutta, and he approached the Lord and he asked him to take all the living entities back to Godhead. And if he thought they were too sinful, then he should deliver the sinful reactions to Vasudev Dutta. And Lord Chaitanya replied that, you know, you don't need to accept the sinful reactions, but just by your desiring their deliverance, they will be delivered. But there are some details that need to be looked into. But I don't think being a rogue is a disqualification if one has other qualifications like Jagai Madhai. Any other questions or comments? Yes, Nick? Sorry?
We get together here upstairs tomorrow at 1:30 so that you can sprinkle some.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Okay. We can like double check, but I did look, and I believe it's on Thursday the 16th.
Okay,
yeah.
Just real quick, can we... Is it possible to create Radhakund water from ordinary water? Some prayer, some...
We have Radhakund.
Oh.
We have Radhakund. We don't need to create.
Oh, okay.
Oh, is that what you were asking? Yeah, we have. Gopal Prabhu, you know, from 1975, he was given the instruction to distribute Radhakund water. And he's been doing it ever since.
Oh, God.
And he has a couple of bottles of the pure original Radhakund water with him. Well, I think that's like a good idea. Yeah. That's very good.
1:30 tomorrow, your place.
Sorry?
1:30 tomorrow, your place. We're here.
Nityananda Prabhu is the temple president, so whatever he decides. There's a slight chance I might be out at 1:30, so I'll do like Gopal said, to always have it with me, and just in case I'm not back by 1:30, but...
We could meet here at 1:30, and if you are able to come, Maharaj, fine. If you're not, then we'll...
Yeah, I would love to.
Yeah. Okay.
I would love to.
Thank you much.
And, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, after the killing of Aristasura by Krishna, that's when that happened. Just in brief, so Krishna really wanted to. What it was is he was having a rasa dance with the gopis, and then the Aristasura came, the demon in the form of a bull, and he was like terrorizing everyone. He was a very ferocious demon in the disguise of a bull. And so after dispatching the demon, Krishna wanted to resume the rasa dance with the gopis. And Srimati Radharani looked at him with this like pained look that, you know, don't come near us, don't touch us. You committed a great sin. You killed a bull. And Krishna said, it wasn't a bull, it was a demon in the shape of a bull. But Srimati Radharani said, but still, that soul was in the body of a bull, and you killed the bull. So you're contaminated by sinful reactions. So Krishna said, all right, then what do you want me to do? And she said, I want you to take bath in all the holy waters in the universe and purify yourself. And Krishna said, well, why should I go to all the holy places in the universe? I'll have them come here. So he dug his heel into the ground, and so all the personified holy places, all the sacred rivers, they came and offered respects to him, and then they turned themselves into liquid forms, and they filled up that lake, Shamakund. So then Krishna said, Krishna took bath. So Krishna said, so now are you satisfied? So she said, yes. And Krishna said, well, I'm not satisfied with you because Aristasura was a demon and you took the side of a demon. So you're contaminated. So, okay, what do I have to do? So there are different versions of this, slightly different versions. In one version, she and her friends were bringing water from Manasi Ganga at Govardhan. But in any case, Krishna didn't want to see her and her girlfriends toil so hard. So he said that I will give you the waters from my kund to fill your kund. And she was not ready immediately. She's also sort of in a competitive mood that she wanted her kund to be better and more beautiful than Krishna's kund. So then the personified holy places, again, they came out again and offered prayers to Srimati Radharani. And she's very soft-hearted and merciful, so she asked them, what do you want? And they said, well, if you allow us to fill your kund, that will be your greatest mercy. And so she agreed, and then they all filled her kund. And then Sri Krishna was very pleased, and he said that, that your kund is as dear to me as you, and anyone who takes bath in your kund will become similarly dear to me, and that your kund will be more beautiful and more celebrated than mine. And so, yeah, you want it, because this is these are all loving exchanges. There may be some joking element to it, but they're all loving exchanges based on pure love. And Krishna only wants to please Radharani, and Radharani only wants to please Krishna. But because she had that desire that her kun should be more glorious than his, so he agreed and he fulfilled her desire. Yes, Radhakun will be more glorious and more famous than even my own kun. Hare Krishna. Shri Radha Kund Ki Jai. Shri Shama Kund Ki Jai. Shri Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Hari Hari Bo.
Divine love and grace, so Giriraj Swami Maharaj.